Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Prodan, and today we want to share an episode of the new show, Getting Heated with Mick Fanning and Ross Williams. It's a weekly show where Mick and Ross debate some of the hottest topics in surfing. I'm serving as the temporary moderator, and new episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you find podcasts, as well as on worldsurfleague.com. This week, the show dove into the loss of Bells Beach and the Gold Coast to the 2021 CT calendar, talked about who the best surfer in the world not on tour is, debated surfing's greatest rivalries, and discussed who is going to thrive in the upcoming Australian leg. I hope you enjoy it. Be sure to listen, download, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And here we go.
Welcome to Getting Heated, the place to debate and discuss all things surf-related. Huge news coming out of the WSL surrounding the Australian leg of the tour. Some old favorites are out, and the guys have big opinions on it. Plus, who's the best surfer in the world currently not on the CT? And Kelly versus Andy. Was it the best rivalry in surfing, or do we have a version of this today? Finally, will the new and unfamiliar Australian events flip the tour upside down? So much to debate, let's fire up some heats.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Getting Heated, the place for discussion, debate, and disputes on all things surf-related. I'm Dave Prodan, moderating the true stars of the show, Coolangatta's Mick Fanning and the North Shore's Ross Williams. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. Mick, the tour is returning in a big way in Australia. Are you going to dust off your competition jerseys and re-enter the fray like Captain Freedom?
No, they got plenty of dust on. It'll take me a while.
Dave, morning. You looking very studious this morning.
Yeah, I'm pulling out the big Jesse Ventura Running Man references, so I got to look sharp for those. Well, bombshell news coming out of the WSL this week regarding the Australian leg of the tour, and let's get right into it for the opening exchange in Heat 1. Quick summary of the headline news. Following our opening event in Hawaii, the WSL has announced four upcoming events in Australia, which means no Gold Coast or Bells Beach for 2021. So here's the Heat 1 question. While we are psyched on the four events that are upcoming, which one hurts more to lose this season, the Gold Coast or Bells Beach? Mick, you've got hardware from both, so why don't you start us off?
Oh, yeah, look, this is a tricky one, Dave. Look, I'm going to have to go with Bells. The only reason why is the history of the event. The event's been running for 50, 60 years. There's nothing like going down to Bells Beach at Easter, every Easter. Last year, I was sitting at home during Easter and it was just like, what is going on? This is so weird. Also, too, I feel like the Snapper event is a great event to start the year. You know, big lights, big action, high performance. If it's not the first event, then I can feel like it can go anywhere, but Bells is the one for me. I just feel like the aura around Bells with the cliffs, the whole pilgrimage down the coast where it's cold, everyone, those amazing sunrises early morning in the car park, talking to your competitors, talking rubbish, and getting out there when it's nice and cold. There's nothing like it.
Somehow this feels like a paid advertisement from Rip Curl Belt there, Mick.
But they own the tour these days, Ross. Did you just see the platform? Rip Curl.
It's gnarly. To be honest, I really, really love Bells. Bells was one of my favorite events. But if you had to choose between the two, and I'm guessing, trying to put myself in the shoes of all the guys on tour right now, I'm going to say the Gold Coast is a bigger miss, just because I feel like that is the main trigger to start the year for all these guys. I know we have pipe already banked, but the Gold Coast is where everyone's going to go, okay, the year started, the water's crystal clear. You have the perfect mix of a point break and a sandbar, you know, beach break vibe. Everyone's ripping. It's one of the most, you know, rippable waves on tour. And also it's very familiar. So everyone's going to have to definitely adjust now. Whereas Bells is cold, the water's green, it's a little bit more grindy. You always have a couple days of, you know, pretty tough conditions there. You know, and I think the cold is the weird part about it.
I'm going to throw another spanner in the works with you on the Gold Coast one. We've had a couple of tough years here. You know, we haven't had Behind the Rock. The banks at Snapper have been okay. And if I'm looking out the window today, you don't want an event here this year. the bank is so deep. It's more like a swimming hole rather than a point break. And I think that's why Bells is, it's consistent. You know, obviously you're going to have a couple of tough rounds. It happens in every event, but you know what you're going to get. You know, Winky Pop's right there. You've got the Bells Bowl, and April's a great time of the year for Bells. So, look, I just think going on history and all the aura around Bells, I'm going to go that way. But, you know, I'm torn in two here.
Yeah, you are. You're going to go ring that bell right behind your shoulder.
Yeah, mate. I've got me other ones over there as well. No,
look at them. No, I don't know. I mean, the sandbar issue that you're talking about, or as Aussies call it, the bank, you just get bugs to turn a switch on. They'll get that thing filled up in a couple of days. I hate to boil it down to just the water temp, but I really feel it's a big part of it. I think it helped all the surfers warm up. It's the perfect venue to, you know, kickstart the whole season. Who's looking sharp? Who's going to win the world title? You know, you got all the beach breaks surrounding Snapper that are perfect warm-up sessions where, conversely, Bells...
I don't know about the perfect beach breaks around. You're always complaining about the bar.
Yeah, I'm glad someone brought up the bar.
Shh, Dave, shh. Don't talk about it. The D-bar's bad. D-bar's bad. Let's not talk about it.
Secret spot, D-bar.
All right, and they can probably bleep that out since it's a secret spot. But I do think that's going to be the biggest loss. I miss watching the free surfing out there. When we return, we're debating the topics of who is currently the best surfer in the world not on tour, as well as surfing's most heated rivalries. We'll be right back.
WSLStore.com is powered by Shopify. We love the analytics we can check on the go. A lot of us are addicted to checking the Shopify app on our phones. We also love the automations and marketing integrations with our social and YouTube channels. It has incredible features to help us manage our global audience, including international taxation support and great shipping optionality. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/lineup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/lineup now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/lineup.
Welcome back to Getting Heated. I'm Dave Prodan, joined by the legends, Ross Williams and Mick Fanning. Guys, if you had to quickly guess the total number of years you both had on the championship tour, what would the combined number be? Ross?
Oh, 20.
Mick?
It's going to be like anywhere between 27 and 30.
Ah, geez, very specific. The answer is actually 28 years in total. 17 for Mick, 11 for Ross. And that makes you both subject matter experts of what the tour is actually like. But what about off tour? And that's the subject for Heat 2. The world's best surfers are on the championship tour, and never before has that been so true as it's been in recent years. However, free surfing clips hit the internet all the time that raise an eyebrow or two. So for Heat 2, the question is, who is the best surfer in the world not currently on the championship tour? Ross, kick us off.
Okay, so you mentioned it, Dave. One of the cool things about social media is we're so in touch with every surfer around the world. And one of the surfers that I've really fell in love watching surfing, and it's definitely my favorite surfer not on tour right now, is actually lives in Bali. His name is Rio Waida. He's half Japanese, half Indonesian. This kid, if you haven't checked him out, Mick, is unbelievable. He's super powerful. He's really fast. He's young. He's fit. He surfs, in my opinion, better than half the guys on tour right now. And he's, for the most part, been in Bali throughout his young career. And if he gets on tour, he is just going to demolish guys.
Yeah, I know who Rio is. And yeah, great surfer. Really amazing prospect coming out of Indo. For me, my favorite surfer off tour that's not on the championship tour is Molly Picklum. Young girl from the central coast of Australia. She has done some surfing that is blowing minds. Unlike the rest of the world, she doesn't put all her best clips up on Instagram. She's done everything in Australia. She's won the under 16 Aussie titles, under 18 Aussie titles. She's gone on and won QS events already. She's world junior ratings leader. She's ready for the tour. And now she's sponsored by Rip Curl as well. So I'm sure she's going to get a whole bunch of wild cards through this Aussie leg coming up. I was surfing the other day with her just out at the points on the Gold Coast, and I was sitting next to Parker and I was like, have you seen this girl? And he's like, who is it? And then she took off, did one huge layback turn into a finner, and Parker doesn't really commend many kids, but he was just like, wow, she's incredible just off one wave. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what Molly does over the next couple of months.
You mentioned her to me before and I went and checked her out. What is she saving all those clips for? She's not putting them on Instagram.
Or who knows, mate? Who knows?
Big movie. Mega movie. But I do have an answer for you in terms of like that women's division, and that's Betty Lou Sakura Johnson. She's just incredibly strong. She grew up doing gymnastics from a young age. She surfs like a dude, like Michelle Perez or something. She charges like 10 to 12 foot Haliva, and she's already won a QS at the age of 14. So I think she'll be definitely, wreaking havoc on tour in the next few years here.
Interesting choices. There's no Dane Reynolds, so this seems wildly problematic to me, and I can feel the Coors Light beer cans hitting computer screens around the world in a protest. But let's shift gears back to the tour for Heat 3. Rivalries are good for any sport. Fans love it, athletes up their game, and the stories are often memorialized in history books for years to come. So the question for Heat 3 is, does it hurt the tour that we don't currently have a modern version of the Andy versus Kelly rivalry, or do we? Mick, open us up.
Look, Dave, I think we do. I just don't think it's been ignited to the full extent yet. I think John versus Gabe, there is a rivalry there, and they both speak about how much they want to beat each other. I just don't think we've had a year where they've both been on fire and come together at the end for a world title. And it is in the sense too where there's good versus evil, so to say. Same as Kelly versus Andy. Kelly was the golden child and Andy was the rough and raw guy, where it's probably the same thing. John's quietly spoken, where Gabe is, he's ready. He's got some grit. He's not scared if he upsets anyone. So look, I think that is going to ignite in the next year or two, and we're going to see fireworks, and I'm so excited for it. I've been wanting this for the last 5 years, so I think it's going to just blow the roof off the tour.
Mick, you're making my points for me. As a fan, there's nothing I would like more than a really fun, enticing rivalry like there was with Kelly and Andy Irons. But John and Gabby, it's not even close. It's not even the same ballpark. Talent-wise, yes. Obviously John and Gabby are really incredible to watch. They're both, world champions. But that's kind of where it stops because, Andy Irons was on tour like a wrecking ball and Kelly was clean cut, sort of in his little tight zone. So that chemistry, and that's what it is, right? It's the chemistry was so like oil and water. And John and Gabby, they're actually friends. They hang out with each other sometimes on tour. John's never gonna talk crap about anyone on tour. That's just not his style, where Kelly does have that edge.
Look, I think we've seen a little bit of it that people probably missed a few years back. Gabe was in the title race, and every time that John would paddle out pipe, Gabe would paddle out pipe, and he would paddle straight out and sit right next to him and just mess with him. I don't know if it got into John's head or not, but just from the sideline watching in, I was just like, wow, this could really erupt. I just think that when they come together in a title race, they might be friends now. You know, me and Parker were best friends until we're in a title race together. And then it was like, we actually gave each other a lot of distance. We're really nice to each other, but it builds walls. So once we get them in a title race together, I'm going to see fireworks.
Well, I think you got it right, where Gabby, I feel like, has that edge. Yeah, Gabby is willing to, we've seen it, right? He's willing to use the entire rule book to win heat. He's willing to use a little bit of gamesmanship, like you mentioned, with maybe free surfing or trying to get into your head psychologically. John is not. John's just going to go out there and try and use every inch of his talent to beat you. And that's his deal. I love John, but he's way more on the boring side when it comes to a rivalry. He just doesn't have that chemistry where you would really see fireworks against Gabby. We love John for it, because he lets his surfing do the talking. But whereas, Kelly and Andy was sort of like the Gabby, Andy was more raw and edgy. And Kelly was like this superhero who was not afraid to use gamesmanship as well and use the whole rule book, where I just don't see John, John's not like that.
Yeah, look, I'd sort of have to disagree with you there again, Ross. We saw Zeke Lau paddle rings around John at Bells one year, and I've never seen John actually angry before, but you saw a bit of anger come out and gamesmanship, and everyone was like, oh, we can't wait till the next heat, they're there together. You can see it in his eyes. He'll go out there and he'll want to embarrass that person the very next time. And he put on a pretty damn good show next time he surfed against Zeke, because he had that anger. You could see it in there. So I think when these two come together and butt heads a little bit, we're going to see something out of John we've never really seen before, and it's going to even ignite him.
When we return, we're going deep into the new Australian events that are about to shake up the 2021 Championship Tour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Getting Heated. Mick and Ross, are you guys ready to dive into the biggest news of the week?
Yeah, let's get started. No time like the present.
Sounds juicy, Dave. Bring it on. What is it?
We opened the show talking about the latest news surrounding the Australian leg of the tour. Four locations have been confirmed: Newcastle, Narrabeen, Margaret River, and Rottnest Island. Newcastle and Narrabeen are returning to the CT after several years away, and Rottnest Island is joining for the first time ever. So the going deep question is, which surfers will likely thrive in the new locations, regardless of experience or reps there? Mick, you've got the home field advantage, so take us away.
Look, I had to do some research last night. I don't know a lot about Rottnest Island, so I rang a friend of mine. He was telling me Rottnest Island is pretty similar to Margaret's in the fact that there's a steep right and a pretty rippable left, but then there's also another left that's really, really, really fun. So and then obviously Narrabeen is a predominant left, so I feel like Gabe, Italo, Goofy Footers are going to have a little bit more advantage, where in the past where we're going to Snapper and we're going to Bells, it might have gone back to the natural footers and those deep water surfers that surf really well. I guess also too, with the unpredictability of Narrabeen, we're going to see probably a little bit more above the lip surfing, but I think when it comes to Rottnest Island, I think we're going to see new exciting people, but also people that are going to adapt really quick.
Yeah, that's what I think is the call too, Mick. I think the being able to adapt is sort of the key to this whole leg in Australia, because everyone's been asked to be very nimble, being that we're dealing with this pandemic still. Motivation wise and just kind of shrugging off all the change, it's going to be easier, I think, for rookies. I think the veterans are going to be a little more edgy about it, because they love predictability, right? They know what Bells is like, they expect that, they train for it, they have boards for it, there's that familiar atmosphere to it that's going to be all of a sudden pulled. Whereas a lot of the Groms that are on tour, they're like used to grinding it out on a QS, and this leg feels a little more grindy to me because we have Newcastle. Now we have Narrabeen, which, by the way, I love Narrabeen. You know, we used to go there back back in the day when I was on tour, and it's a really fun wave. Mick, I know you've surfed there a bunch, and you know Narrabeen can get incredible. You know, if it's really lined up, it's a quality wave. I will say Itzelo and Gabby must be licking their chops because it's a, you know, a fun sandbar left, and those guys are going to be popping airs with ease, and that's a really easy way to compete and get big scores. But I will say with Rottnest Island, you know, guys like John, and then even I think Lakey Peterson, who served so well in 2019 over at Margie's. What my assessment was, Rottnest Island looks really surfable, super rippable. I think you're going to see high performance surfing. Same with Narrabeen, unless they get really skunked, you know, it's going to be really fun. So I think in general, I think the Groms are going to be excited about, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, it's exciting, I guess, these new places. I remember when we were on tour and we had the search event, as soon as that news comes out, oh, we're going to go to this place. I was like, on the internet trying to find footage of these joints. I was just like, ring up Rip Curl. I need as much footage as I possibly can have to try and figure out what this wave is like. And it's so exciting. The guys must be frothing, but seeing you are a coach, like, does it change everyone's mindset? Is the quivers changing? Is it sending shapers back to the shaping bay and trying to figure out what's the best possible thing for these spots?
I think, you know, here's the cool thing. It's actually easier because more or less with Narrabeen and Newcastle, these are both sort of the same type of wave in terms of power. So you're going to be looking at your standard shortboard and then a step down, you know, if the waves get really small. Whereas Bells is a little bit tricky. I almost feel like Bells, you need three different boards. You know, you need your super, you know, gravel board in case it's flat. You need a step up at least in case the waves are 8 feet. You need a down the line sort of board that maybe you'd use at J Bay if you want to get really technical for Winky, if they have it down at Winky. So you kind of can get pretty confused going to Bells and bring almost three different setups. Whereas the Beachies, you know, with Nara and Newcastle, yeah, there could be a swell, and so maybe the guys will bring and girls will bring some step ups, but in general, you're just bringing your all around shorty.
Yeah, look, it's a great time for Newcastle Sydney area. You know, early April, you're starting getting those winter swells starting to come, and you get those light offshores in the morning. So, look, there's potential to be incredible. Obviously, West Oz is you know, it's always a great time of year in West Oz when it's offshore in the morning. But yeah, I think we're going to get some really good waves, and I don't want to jinx it, but hopefully some new exciting waves for the tour can really ignite this year and get this tour started. I'm frothing.
You know, what's cool too, Mick, is we had, you know, all this sort of pushback from the locals at Lennox. I feel like it's going to be the exact opposite at Narrabeen, you know, and Newcastle too. But, you know, both Newcastle and Narrabeen, they're going to be, you know, their arms wide open. They have epic past world champions and locals and legends, you know, at both those surf towns. So that's going to be cool to see for those towns to get the light shed back on them and have it be embraced.
Yeah, the history in a place like Narrabeen, you know, you go back to Simon Anderson 81, that's where he tested out the thruster before its big debut at Bells. And the core locals down in Narrabeen are gnarly. The club there is just, they're intense. There's no other way about it, but they're intense. There's too much energy. But they're so giving, you know. You've been there for the Coke. We used to go there for the World Juniors, and the town were just so embracing. And same with Newcastle. Newcastle, the people there are so giving, you know, led by Matt Hoy. If anyone wants to have a beer, just ring up Hoyo. They're both great towns, and I think the people are going to really make those events.
100%. I mean, you're going to have MR hanging around at the event, hopefully, for Newcastle. And yeah, as you said, Duma down at the Narrabeen. It's just good to see the legends in their hometown.
Yeah, MR. I might just come down just to see MR there.
Well, we are now weeks away from the World's Best Surfing returning with the four-event leg in Australia. I personally can't wait. And that's all for today's episode. Next week, we'll be joined by one of the hardest charging surfers in the game. Guys, any hints you want to give the audience as to who it will be? Mick?
Yeah, let's just say he's the king of jaws at the moment.
I think he's the only surfer in the world that's actually done a proper off the lip and gotten barreled with his child on the board with him.
Those are both good hints. We'll all be back next week. See you guys then.
WSLStore.com is powered by Shopify. We love the analytics we can check on the go. A lot of us are addicted to checking the Shopify app on our phones. We also love the automations and marketing integrations with our social and YouTube channels. It has incredible features to help us manage our global audience, including international taxation support and great shipping optionality. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/lineup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/lineup now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/lineup.